You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Friday, everyone. Welcome in to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast commentary on Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. On today's show, to break down the latest rumors surrounding the Rockets, both on and off the court, I'm joined by one of the guys in the Houston media that is closest to them of anyone. That's Kelly Eco, Rockets beat writer for The Athletic, based here in Houston. It's been a long time since I've had him on, but I love seeing Kelly out at the games, and if you're not already following him on Twitter, at Kelly Eco NBA, you absolutely should be. Kelly, happy Friday. How's it going, bud?
Wow, that's a hell of an intro. Thank you. It's been a crazy couple of days. Well, crazy week, actually.
Yeah.
But that's the NBA. That's the NBA for you.
Absolutely. It's amazing how quickly all of this has escalated. You know, I wanted to ask you about the Chris Paul thing, and we'll get to it because you're one of the only guys that regularly travels with the team, really just you and Jonathan Fagan, the Rockets beat writer for the Chronicle, outside of the guys such as the broadcasters that are paid by the team. So as far as independent voices traveling that were in LA, I know you're one of the only ones, and I planned on asking you about that this week, but it's amazing how much has just happened within the past 5 days since then. And that's where I'm going to start. The news of the day in NBA circles is this apparent Godfather offer, which the Timberwolves have apparently don't really seem that enthralled by, four future first-round picks, according to Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN. News broke of that last night about 6 o'clock. Kelly, as someone who I know has kind of been sniffing around this Jimmy Butler to the Rockets story for months now, what was your immediate reaction when you saw that tweet and read that story from Woj? Does it fit with things you've heard? Is it surprising at all to see the Rockets go to an offer that's that heavy on draft picks?
I think the surprising thing to me was the increase in the picks from wherever it was to four. I think the four picks kind of signifies that, okay, they're 1-3. You know, the Western Conference has gotten much better. So you don't have that, like, time to gel as you could have last year, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think now if you want to get Jimmy Butler, you have to up the ante, and that's the maximum number of picks you can throw in a deal. And I think they're trying to see, like, all these offers that you're hearing now, they've already, it's not something where they just sent it to them. The Timberwolves have all these offers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're just sitting on them. So for some reason, the Timberwolves refuse to, like, negotiate with these guys. They want the mother load for Jimmy Butler. And you're not going to get it simply because he wants to leave. He has a year left on his deal. If it was a situation where he had just signed an extension and he has 4 or 5 years left, then yeah, you can talk about, okay, give me this, and you can have Jimmy Butler. But you lose that leverage as the situation worsens. So I think from Houston's perspective, they're trying to bide their time. But I'm not sure if Miami or whoever else still wants to get back in the talks, if they can up their offer to whatever that came out last night.
As you know, it's a deadline-driven league, and what I keep coming back to with why was this leaked, and the thing that really stands out to me is that October 31st deadline, which is less than a week away. Well, it's not a deadline. That's the day that the Rockets are eligible to trade Brandon Knight and Marquese Chris. And I think what's obvious, if the Rockets trade four future first-round picks for Jimmy Butler, there's no way they're also including Eric Gordon. It just doesn't make sense, because when you give up all those future draft picks, it's not just that you're giving up the players that are in the 20s. Kelly, the issue is that, you know, the picks you do keep, meaning, I guess, 2020, 2022, 2024, you wouldn't be able to trade them either moving forward because of the rule that you can't trade multiple future first-round picks in a row. So the Rockets, if they were to do this deal, would be severely constrained in terms of their ability to make moves, say, at the deadline in February, or really at any point for the next 5 or 6 years. You would have to be truly all in in order to give up all those draft picks and the flexibility that comes with that. And I just don't see, you know, is Jimmy Butler an upgrade over Eric Gordon? Yes. Is he so much of an upgrade that you swap Gordon for Butler and you say, you know what, I'm rolling with that for 5-6 years. I don't care about anything else. No. So I think the more likely scenario, and we've heard this from Shams this morning, is that the Rockets are offering some combination of Brandon Knight and Marquise Chris to be the salary filler instead of Eric Gordon, along with those four picks. And so what it looks like to me from Minnesota's perspective is that they know that October 31st is when the Rockets can make this variation of the offer. And so Minnesota's putting it out there to see if Miami or anyone else wants to get in the game, wants to match. Basically, Minnesota is the one that's promoting this rather than the Rockets, because my guess, Kelly, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you're spot on when you say that, you know, the Rockets have discussed this before. I'm sure the Rockets told Minnesota, look, if you want a package centered around current players, then, you know, sure, we can do something with Eric Gordon. Or if you want something that's all about draft picks, then we can offer something like this. But it just seems like to me that it's less, you know, the Rockets having a renewed interest, and it's more that Minnesota is trying to leak this as leverage to get peak offers. And, you know, it all comes down to the timing. And what I keep going back to is that October 31st date when the Rockets are able to aggregate Brandon Knight and Marquise Chris in trades. Does that seem reasonable to you? Because that's the only way that the timing makes sense to me.
Yeah, it makes sense, but given the fact that on, was it Halloween, those deals can be used for trades, like, together, as opposed to if you were to trade them by themselves. And to your point about if it's a leverage point, I don't know about leverage from the perspective of Minnesota wants to get something from Miami.
Yes.
Yes. But also, you have to remember that Houston really wants Jimmy Butler. So if they want, they also want this out there, that they're going to step up their efforts wherever, however way they can, however way they can get creative or whatever, to land a place like Jimmy Butler and try and keep Gordon or Tucker or whoever. So I think, yeah, it's sensitive, because anything that you do, like from either team, the other team is going to see it. And if the Heat today see that deal, I'm pretty sure they get back on the phones with Timberwolves. Because there's a thought process that says, hey, the Timberwolves actually could take this deal. Because if you don't, and the Heat don't get back in talks, then you risk losing Butler for nothing. Now you're still stuck with the big salary, and you're still stuck with that, trying to move that contract. And you don't have the picks to attach a deal to take to a team that would take that off your hands. So it does work. Like, I guess there are other ploys haven't worked in the past to get something out of somebody else, but this one last night did. Because now, I'm sure you saw the report that the Heat have re-engaged in talks with the Timberwolves.
Yep.
So it's going to be back and forth. This thing is crazy. It's wild, really.
Is it your sense that this is finally it? Because, you know, Minnesota has to move him at some point. I know theoretically they could move until the deadline. But, you know, I just keep coming back to Kelly. You know, the longer they wait, the less teams are going to be willing to give up, because you don't have time to integrate him with your current team. So it feels like to me that this might finally be it, that at some point within the next week, be it Houston, Miami, or somewhere else, that there's finally movement. Is that the sense that you get as well?
Yeah, I think this thing should be winding to a close pretty soon, the saga, if you will. And I just think that as the teams go on, yeah, like you said, you want to have your players integrate as quickly and early as possible. So from Miami or Houston or whoever wants to get Jimmy Butler, they would want to have this deal sooner rather than later. So I think eventually Tom Thibodeau will crack and accept one of the deals, because you can't just sit. If Tibbs knows that by this time next year, he might be out of a job.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Part of him, well, a big part of him, his nature is someone that would want to go down swinging. Like, he's not going to just, okay, I'm going to get fired, so why not? No, they brought him in to make the playoffs. And they hadn't made the playoffs in almost 14 years, up until he arrived in Minnesota. So if he thinks they still have a chance to make it this year, I can see why he would be hesitant to move Jimmy right now. And Tom Thibodeau is a guy who always goes by the rules. So he doesn't believe in trading players at this time of the year. If he's going to trade somebody, it's going to be at the deadline or it's going to be in the offseason. He doesn't believe in doing it right now. But I think there will come a time in the next week or week and a half where he just they come to an agreement that this is just the best thing for all parties involved. Just wipe your hands clean and look towards the future. And maybe he can save his job. Who knows?
Kelly, I want to transition to the current Rockets. The news from the team yesterday with the three injuries. James Harden, grade 1 plus strain of his left hamstring. James Ennis, a grade 2 strain of his right hamstring, both out the next 2 days, will be reevaluated before the road trip, which should come next Wednesday or Thursday. That road trip kicks off next Friday. And then Nene out for at least 2 more weeks with that calf strain. He'll be reevaluated in 2 weeks. I know you reported that he had a setback, and it could be 3 to 4 weeks. Just tell me with those guys what you're hearing, what the expectation is. It sounds like of the three, unfortunately, given their status, that Harden's the guy that comes back first. Is that correct?
Yeah. Harden's was the least serious, and they're lucky. It's just a precaution thing, so he's not going to play tonight. He won't play probably Tuesday. He could come back. Who did they play, Brooklyn?
Yeah, I think it starts in Brooklyn.
Yeah, either Brooklyn or Chicago could come back one of those games. As far as Ennis, his is a grade 2, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. And grade 2, when Chris Paul got hurt, that was a grade 2 as well?
Yep.
In game 6? Okay. So, yeah. I'm not sure about that one, but I know that as far as Nene goes, his was this. Yes, he's aware of the Rockets' slow start and their big man, like their lack of depth. Everyone's been hurt. Like Chris, Zochi, him, whatever. The only available guy was Hardstark after Capella. So he was pushing to come back on the court. He went through some warm-ups, and then he suffered the setback. And once they did the MRI 2 days ago or yesterday, they saw that it was the calf strain again. So he had the PRP treatment, and they're going to look at him again. The earliest they can look at him, that when he come back to the court, is 3 weeks.
Yep.
So if they reevaluate him in 2, then he could come back in a week after that. But I heard that it was going to be 3 to 4, like just to give a realistic timeline. So people wouldn't like necessarily rush him back to the court because he is older and he is, his injuries do take longer to heal, you know, than the young big man. So I think what we're seeing now is the Rockets are just going through, they're just going through it right now. Everybody's hurt. They're not playing well. And they just want to get out of this funk, if you will.
What's your sense on Marquese Chris? I know he's been out. They haven't said much about it other than an ankle sprain. We heard from MDA before Wednesday's game that we're at a point now in terms of his time missed that they wouldn't just throw him back out there. Even when he's cleared, he would need a couple of practices because he is kind of new to the system as well. People forget that. Is there anything about him being ready anytime soon? I guess the one advantage the Rockets have, you only have 2 games in the next 7 days, you know, tonight, and then they're off until Tuesday, and then they don't start the road trip, as we mentioned, until Friday. So you can get some kind of built-in time for these guys. You know, they could use another big body, especially with Nene out. It's just, unfortunately, from what I've heard, it doesn't seem like anything with Marquese Chris and that ankle is particularly imminent either.
Yeah, and Mike D'Antoni said it about the most important thing is he's not, like, ready game shape-wise. Mm-hmm. And his preseason was kind of up and down. And I think the game that he was out there, he kind of looked winded at times.
Mm-hmm.
So if the ankle is still bothering him and he's not in game shape, that might take even longer. And I think that one will be one to watch, obviously, if to see how his recovery does. But like you said, it's good that they have a couple of days off in between games. Maybe his recovery can be fast-tracked.
With all these injuries, really across the board in terms of positions, they're low on bodies. The other night, they basically had a 7-man rotation. They tried to play Gary Clark and Isaiah Hartenstein a little in the first half, but it didn't really work out that well. You ended up your veteran role players, Eric Gordon, PJ Tucker, Carmelo, all playing 39 minutes. I think they know that's not really sustainable. In your column yesterday for The Athletic, you floated a couple of names if they wanted to go outside for reinforcements, and those being Nick Young and Anthony Morrow, both three-point gunners. And, you know, there are issues with would they come in a roster spot? Theoretically, there are avenues that they could go, such as letting Michael Carter-Williams go if they don't really like what they're seeing from him. I'm just curious how you assess, you know, when you're talking about these outside free agents, and, you know, last December we saw this with Gerald Green. It happened so fast. Within 12 hours, they worked out Gerald Green, they signed him, and he was playing that night. And in the Rockets system, it's not like it's that complex for a guy like Gerald Green or Nick Young or Anthony Morrow. Basically, you're going to get open threes, take them, fire them, and hopefully some of them go in. So we've seen the Rockets act very quickly on this stuff in the past. I'm just curious, since you floated those names as guys that, you know, are proven guys just basically waiting for a phone call, what's the point in which the Rockets say we need to act, that this rotation is just too short, we need reinforcements, particularly, you know, outside shooting, but more than that, just bodies? What's the point at which the Rockets say, you know what, we've got to go outside and get help, be it Nick Young, Anthony Morrow, or whoever it may be?
I think if they lose tonight, if you start the season out 1-4 and you've lost three home games, then yeah, it's time to look outside for help, because they're very thin right now. And I think they're wasting Gary Clark's days, but if he's not going to play him extensively, right?
Yeah.
Don't have him on all these trips, because he's out a week now, right? I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think as far as Nick Young goes, Nick Young's been very vocal about it. He did a whole article, GQ, about how he thought, like, D'Antoni, well, he loves D'Antoni. He thought that he would get a call from Houston or whatever. And when that didn't work out, he still wants to come to the team. And Anthony Morrow is someone who's been out of the league for 2 years and very interested in playing for the Rockets if Mike would give him a call. Those are his words. So I think right now Rockets are looking very thin. And with all these injuries piling up and the losses piling up, if you're not gonna trade somebody, you have to make a move, and fast, while you still can't, because 1-4 it's not good. But if you start going to 1-5, 2-6, then you're really behind the eight ball in the Western Conference. And as you've seen, the teams that were on the fringe last year are actually the ones at the top now. So you're gonna want to have to act quickly, if you get what I'm saying.
As we close out the podcast, I want to transition to two guys that are going to have to do a lot of the heavy lifting with James Harden out, that being Chris Paul, who returns tonight after his two-game suspension, and Carmelo Anthony, who had his best game the other night with the Rockets, 22 points and 7 boards in those 39 minutes in the loss to Utah. I'll start with Carmelo. They haven't committed to it, but it sounds like they're leaning to starting him at the 3. I think even 8 days ago when the season started, if you had told Mike D'Antoni, could you see a scenario in which you start Carmelo at the 3? He would have never bought it. But between the injuries, they're just so thin, and the fact that, you know, they played him a lot, Carmelo, PJ Tucker, and Clint Capela together on Wednesday, and it held up surprisingly well. At this point, I understand that they're a little skeptical of him defensively, especially hanging on the perimeter. I know that they like him off the bench, especially if Eric Gordon has to start. But to me, with bodies wearing thin, and, you know, it remains to be seen if he can hold up as well at the 3 against the Clippers as he did against the Jazz. You know, the Jazz, when you look at the forward spots, they're not overly athletic. So, you know, you look at a team that's got the Tobias Harris types that the Clippers do, they might can punish Carmelo on the perimeter in a way that the Jazz couldn't. But while the Rockets haven't committed to it, and I think, you know, if you had told Mike D'Antoni this scenario 9 days ago, he would have said you're crazy. But at this point, I don't see that the Rockets have any other choice but to try him, because it seems pretty clear, is it not, that Michael Carter-Williams just is not cutting it with the starters based on his shooting deficiencies?
Yeah, I think, as D'Antoni said, he wanted to get different looks in early, and the injuries are kind of forcing him to have to look at all the options. And Carmelo did break out of that early funk, and he was able to get it going, different looks. He's a different option on the floor, you know? Like, he's able to score in all facets. So while his defense is still going to be an issue, obviously, out there, at some point, you have to start the games better. And if they can get going with CP, Carmelo, and Eric, then you have a better chance of starting the game, because I think it builds your confidence early. If that happens to play the whole game chasing a lead, especially at home, it puts a lot of stress, and it causes you to make like poor decisions, as you saw the last game, because they were in the game for a while, in the Utah game, and they could have stressed that lead had they got some shots going in. So I think tonight especially, there's going to be a lot of pressure. You know, no one wants to start the season off losing the first three at home, especially for a title contender like Houston. So I think they're going to have to put Carmelo out there and hope for the best.
Last question for you, and it involves Chris Paul. I know you were there in Los Angeles for everything that went down, and we've discussed that ad nauseum this week. What I'm curious your take on is everything that's happened since then, all the things we've seen in the press, Rondo calling him a horrible teammate, guys like Glenn Davis and Ryan Hollins piling on. I asked Gerald Green about it in the Rockets locker room the other day. He pushed back pretty hard, saying that Chris is an awesome teammate, one of the best he's ever had. He pointed out that he'd had plenty of bad teammates because Green's bounced around 8 teams in 11 years, and he was just offered a glowing endorsement of Chris. That said, you can point out that, look, of course the current Rockets aren't going to say anything bad about Chris Paul because they're playing with him. But then when you look a layer deeper, look, it's not just the current Rockets. Luke Bamute followed Chris Paul to the minimum after he left the Clippers, or followed Chris Paul to Houston for the minimum when Paul left for the Rockets a summer ago. J.J. Redick nearly came to the Rockets. You've reported last year that DeAndre Jordan had a great relationship with many Rockets, including Chris Paul, after Chris Paul left L.A. So it's not to say that Chris Paul has a perfect reputation, but this idea that players around the league don't like him, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there are some that don't like him. You can find that with any of us. But it sure seems like that when you peel it back deeper, there's a lot of players around the league who genuinely respect Chris Paul. And whatever beef there is between CP and Rondo, it seems more personal between the two than it does reflective of any sort of widespread belief that CP is a bad teammate or anything like that. That's just my kind of outsider's view on this. Just curious, as someone that I know talks with players, what the general consensus view of CP is, because to me at least, it doesn't seem like that Rondo characterization is very accurate.
Yeah, I think Chris Paul is a no-nonsense guy, and he's a vet, and maybe at his previous stops, some guys, he might have rubbed you the wrong way if you're not a serious guy, you know? Mm-hmm. If you're not trying to, because he wants to win a championship. That's all he wants to win. And every NBA player isn't wired like that, you know? Every NBA player doesn't go into the game thinking, I want to give my 100%, 110% to win the game. So for other guys, like maybe a Rondo or a Glenn Davis, he kind of rubbed them the wrong way, because Glenn Davis has always been seen as someone that likes to have fun, you know, likes to goof off. And Chris isn't always about that. He's serious. He wants to win the game. He's not here for the pleasantries, you know? So I think the whole Rondo situation, it just took a weird turn, because he's like, Rondo is back to this corner where you spit on somebody, you lied about it. They said they found evidence that you did, and now you're trying to attack someone's character. So it's just a whole big mess. And all this thing could have all been avoided had Rondo just come out and said, look, I'm sorry. It was either moment. I lost my cool. It's not who I am. It could have been done with. But he made it a whole big ordeal by going after someone's character and yada, yada, yada. And I think this whole thing is just tiresome, honestly. Like, yeah. Chris Paul, there are so many, it's like Kobe. There's so many people, for every person that will tell you that Kobe rubbed them the wrong way, there's going to be someone that says, I love Kobe and yada, yada, yada. Same with Jordan. Same with anybody who was obsessed with the game of basketball. You know, there are 450 players in the NBA, right? Not all 450 of those are going to be obsessed with basketball as much as Chris Paul is. So it's natural for everyone not to get along all the time. That's how human beings interact. And I just think it was unnecessary what he did, and it was kind of gross, and he should have kept it at that. Don't make it a bigger issue than what it is. So I think he's more excited just to come back to the court and get back to playing basketball. So that can be the story, you know, not the other stuff.
I agree. And played basketball quite well before that whole incident. I think 28, 10, 7, shooting about 50% from the field. So I think, yeah. And you know how Chris is as a competitor. I think he'll look at this stretch for at least two games without James out as an opportunity. And I think he's as eager as anyone to put all this stuff behind him. And hopefully the Rockets, you know, the best way to turn the page is by winning. And if you win the game tonight, then the storyline is going to be a lot different. And we can all look at this and kind of hopefully laugh about it a few months from now.
Yeah.
Anyway, Kelly, thanks so much for the time. Folks, if you're not already following him on Twitter, you can do so at KellyEcoNBA. Kelly, appreciate the time, and I'll see you at Toyota Center tonight.
Thank you, and I'll see you, man. Appreciate it.
Good stuff there from Kelly Eco on a wide range of topics. Again, if you're not already following him, please fix that by doing so at KellyEcoNBA, and also subscribe to The Athletic, where he's a great beat writer, lots of content on a daily basis covering the Houston Rockets, along with my friend Ali Bashani, who you can also follow on Twitter at Rockets_insider. Anyway, with that, we can put a bow on today's show until tonight's game. So if you want more content before the next episode, best place to get it, as always, is on Twitter. I'm on there at Ben Dubose. The show is on there at Locked On Rockets. And beyond that, if you want more content or you've got questions about the team, we've got an email address, lockedonrockets@gmail.com, a website, lockedonrockets.com, a Facebook account, facebook.com/lockedonrockets, always that, again, you can access our prior content, ask me questions about the team, make suggestions for the show, advertising inquiries. We've got some great rates. Pretty much whatever we can do to make this a better podcast for you, the diehard Rockets fan, or even you, the human being, don't hesitate to check us out. Also, don't forget our sister show, Locked On Texans. The Texans won their fifth game in a row last night with a primetime beatdown of Brock Osweiler and the Miami Dolphins. Texans now up by more than a game in the AFC South. Did come, though, with a bit of a headwind. Looks like Will Fuller, star receiver, may be out for the year with a torn ACL, still waiting the final diagnosis. But if you want a breakdown of everything going on with the Texans' win streak, but also the downside of what's going on with the injuries to Will Fuller, also some nicks to Jonathan Joseph and Jadeveon Clowney, then check out Locked On Texans, hosted by Robert Land and Brian Patterson. That's our sister show on this Locked On Podcast Network, which provides local experts across not just the NBA, but also the NFL and even Major League Baseball and college sports. So same places you can find Locked On Rockets: iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Megaphone, TuneIn, etc., etc. You can also find Locked On Texans or really any show across those other sports. And if you enjoy listening, again, please subscribe to us. That's how you'll get episodes right when they come out. And also leave us a 5-star review, because that's how we can look attractive to potential advertisers and keep the business model working here at Locked On Rockets as the most regular podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. Anyway, that will do it for today's show on Friday, October 25th. The Rockets do have a game tonight, though, against the LA Clippers. We won't have an immediate post-game recap because this will serve as our Friday show, but we will, whether they move to 1-4 or improve, hopefully, to 2-3, whatever happens tonight against the Clippers without James Harden, but with the return of Chris Paul, we will have an episode this weekend with a full recap of whatever we learn from Rockets Clippers tonight. And of course, we'll also break in if there's any movement on the Jimmy Butler front or the Rockets signing any outside free agents. Whatever it may be, we'll have you covered right here at Locked On Rockets, because this is the daily source for commentary on Houston Rockets basketball. As always, thanks for listening. Have a great weekend and come back soon.